It has economy, simplicity, low production cost, potential for mass appeal, and all that spells out great profitability. I had the boys down at R&D throw together this little prototype so that our discussion here could have some focus, and to give you gentlemen of the board a first-hand look at just how exciting this gizmo is. It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise, the kids will just love it, and we put a little sand inside to make the experience more pleasant. But the great part is we don't have to charge an arm and a leg.
What if you tie before it's done?
Does it have rules?
And more than one play?
What makes you think it's a game?
Is it a game?
Will it break?
It better break eventually.
Is there an object?
What if you tie before it's done?
Does it come with batteries?
Could we charge extra for them?
Is it safe for toddlers?
How do you know when you're finished?
How do you make it stop?
Is that a boy's model?
And can a parent assemble it?
What if you tie before it's done?
Is there a larger model for the obese?
What the hell is it?
Well, it's
brilliant.
What's this? Talk Radio 164, a super short and insubstantial one.
Well, let's not promise the length before we've done it.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's what she said.
Oh, Henry.
The thing I said, not what you said.
Have we started?
Yeah, Charlie, what game are you playing?
I'm playing. I know I'm playing the Henry Gilbert Facebook game.
Woo! That's adorable.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
I signed up for Facebook today. I held out for a very long.
He's accepting fans.
It reminds me of when my grandfather got a DVD player. It's just hilarious to watch you fumble around. I wish it had more physical stuff for you to insert into it incorrectly.
I know what Facebook. I'm not completely.
Your first profile picture was just your chin, and like
I just wanted to have a profile picture.
It was his chin and Marcus Phoenix's chin.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Can we introduce ourselves?
You think so, Michael?
I think so.
Oh, Michael's back.
Yes, I'm back.
I was at Charlie Bears over there, and
I heard that Michael died.
Yeah, I thought you were dead too.
Yeah.
And that's Henry Gilbert over there. Hi, Ellie. But yeah. You're okay now.
I am okay now, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. All better?
Tell everybody what happened.
Well, I got salmonella. I didn't find this out till I'd had it for about a week, but shortly after recording, I think it was 161, whatever the last podcast I was on.
That Wednesday one, yeah.
I got really sick, like 2 days of fever and diarrhea, and then like on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, around 1:30 a.m., I just woke up with like really bad squeezing chest pains, and I had my wife take me to the hospital, and they, like, you know, it's one of those things where you go in and you think like, oh, it's probably nothing, but I should get them to look at it. And
it's probably
like,
just gas.
Yeah, exactly. And like, no, no, there's like irregular EKG, and they're feeding me nitro pills, and it's making a difference. And
I had her heart infection.
Heart infection. Yeah, I think what happened is I had salmonella. It spread to the heart and caused myocarditis, which is like a swelling of the heart muscle. So, yeah, that was, you know, and then like 2.5 days in the hospital, like they let me go on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. And it's kind of funny because if you've never been to a hospital or stayed in one, there are things that they do that you would not consider appropriate. You would not do in any other setting, like, oh, hi, guys. Like, they're wheeling me into surgery. I meet a guy for the first time. 5 minutes later, he's vigorously shaving my pubes.
Vigorously, too.
Yeah. It's like, I just feel something like somebody's scraping a wet Brillo pad
on my groin,
and I realize, oh, he's shaving. Okay.
Oh.
And he's doing this so that they can poke a hole in my femoral artery and stick a camera up there and take a look at my heart and my arteries to make sure I'm not having a heart attack.
Hey, look at your heart down there.
Why should the camera have to enter through the pubes?
I don't know. They don't want any stray hairs getting in there, which is great because I don't either.
Chris, I'm disappointed you don't have a sound effect ready for this.
They had to go
a little off the left side,
I don't know.
A little off the right side. Pubes are shaved, sir. Yeah.
It's just weird to me they have to go in through your thigh instead of like your shoulder
something. Yeah. I'm kind of glad that, like, I was when they first said, like, yeah, you're going to have a catheter to look at your heart. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to poke a hole in my chest.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's just this minor thing. We're going through the thigh.
I guess that sounds a lot better than like cracking your rib cage or something.
Yeah. And also fun is like me meeting a woman for the first time, and then the first thing you're expected to do is tell her all about what bowel movements you've had and their consistency.
Wow.
Wow.
funny you should ask. Yeah. I have a chart.
I'm talking about nurses, of course. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, nice.
Yeah. And sexy nurse Halloween outfits.
Yeah, sexy middle-aged nurses in smocks.
Oh, man. That shaving your pubes thing, man.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
I just did mine. It's hot out of here. It's hot out here.
Did you do them in a pattern?
Yep. No, I didn't do it in a pattern. Oh, that. Ow.
A little Scrooge McDuck down there.
It is just a top hat right now.
Why not?
It looks like an elephant with a top hat.
The advantage to the pube shaving thing is that it's like too terrified and then drugged up to care.
Yeah. And how do you feel now? It's all hot. You feel nice down there, don't you?
I guess.
Yeah.
Kind of.
You ever do the bulls too?
I'll give them credit. They did it in such a way that it wasn't itchy growing back.
Very professional.
Well, yeah. Very professional.
Yeah. If your beard abilities are anything to go by, you must already be back. Full effects down there, right?
That.
Sure. Okay.
Was it waxing, plucking, or shaving?
No, it was definitely shaving.
Definitely shaving. Yeah. Was it with like a Mach 3? Are we talking about?
Like it was some sort of electric thing.
Electric razor. Yeah. Electric razor on the.
Giant pair of shears. Like
yes. It was all very no nonsense. Just all of a sudden, like.
Yeah, it was a nurse with a jetpack.
It was like an army crew cut.
Now I know, like if you went in there with a. Bullet wound, they would probably offer to give you the bullet at the end. So, do they give you a little bag of
salmonella?
That's the thing. It's like I spent a week just with hell, and then like, yeah, we grew this culture and we found salmonella. So here's an antibiotic, and it cleared up in like 2 days.
Wow,
oh, man,
Kaiser.
No. Yeah, that's what I would. My first thought too.
Yeah.
Well, I know when I broke my arm, like it was a similar thing happened where I was just like sitting there waiting for the doctor, and my parents were there waiting, and then they're like, "Well, we're gonna have to give you a shot in your butt." I was like, "Must we really?"
Must
like,
we?
Yeah,
it's like, no, the injury's over here; it's not down there.
Need we? I'm sorry, I'm already laughing. How did you break your arm?
I want to know.
Damn, I told you guys this. Was
it Panera?
I was 17 at the time, and. Was it my friends and I had really gotten into MMA/UFC. So rolling around and seeing if we could get each other in a submission position. But then one friend of mine like seemed to think he was supposed to grab someone's arm and yank as hard as he could in an arm bar. So he got my left arm stretched out as far as it could. And I was just moving and was about to tap and say, "Stop pulling." And then he pulled harder and just... His legs were around my ear, so I couldn't hear it too well. But all I heard was just like a little like crack, like if you like were to say crack your back in the pool, like when your ear when your
how
head
bad?
Was
no, it was like this one.
Sorta, but my friend told me who was outside watching it happen, it sounded like a home run being hit, like that kind of crack. Is my humerus bone the one above the elbow? And so it was. And then I just went into shock and actually didn't feel any pain for about an hour. And then I felt whole lot of pain.
By that time, were you already like at the hospital?
The emergency room, yeah. Because like when we got to the emergency room, I was like, man, this really sucks. Oh, this sucks. But I wasn't in pain. I just say, man, this sucks. My summer's ruined. I got a broken arm. And then when they're like, hold your arm still so we can take an x-ray, I had to like move it slightly to hold it, and it felt like the worst pain I'd ever felt. So
now, one thing that I took away from this is like if you have a friend who's in the hospital, they'll probably appreciate it if you call or visit, because it is so fucking boring.
Really? I thought it would bother you. I was trying to find audiobooks to send you and like like just something to keep you busy.
Oh, that's nice. But you know,
Henry said we should call him today. Yeah. I'm like, no, he's probably not the one.
Henry called.
Henry did call. Henry and Tyler are the only ones.
Wow, I feel like a dick.
I spent a lot of time at the San Fran bookstore staring at the Get Well cards and then not buying
thinking
any.
Thinking about buying one and then not doing so.
You're in all our prayers.
Oh, well.
I was this close to getting you Zombie Spaceship Wasteland, prayers. But then realized that you already had it and gave it to me.
Yes.
Yes. Whoops-a-daisy.
So, there's that. Whoops-a-daisy. Yeah, it's just really fucking boring in there. And what made matters worse is, like, I had my 3DS. I was like, okay, well, can get a lot of... Ocarina of Time in, and then it's like I had, for some reason, they had put two fucking IVs in my left arm, one in my hand, the other in the crook of my arm, like the other side of my elbow, and so It hurt to manipulate the controls, and it hurt to, like, bend my arm so I could hold it up to my face.
Ugh. So you got on your stomach and looked down at the ground.
Yeah.
No.
And but then, like, at the same time, like, there are some people you just don't want to see in the hospital. Like, the first day I was there, I, like, for some reason, I didn't have any clothes except for the smock that they gave me, so I'm just kind of sitting there, feverish, mostly naked, and, like, this old guy comes in, says, like, yeah, I'm a volunteer. I go around to talk to people who have had heart problems, and I'm like, well, that's great, but I'm doing a crossword puzzle right now, so
I'm Crotch Adams. I'm Crotch Adams. I come in. Wow, volunteer. I bother people who are trying to recover.
It's like, yeah, I appreciate it, but it's like, no, just not in the mood, thanks.
Did you have a roommate?
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah? Was she hot?
No, he was not. He was like a 71-year-old dude with a beard.
Oh, a beard. And a beard.
Yeah, but he just...
Did your beard
get
along?
He was fun to listen to because he was really kind of conservative and racist, but in funny ways. Like, he was talking about, like, oh, yeah, it's like this doctor that was taking care of me, he was Pakistani or something. Like, I don't know what he was. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. I could smell the camel shit from the parking lot.
Wow. I don't know if it'd be this bad.
And he repeated this to, like, two different people.
Wow.
Yeah, talking about it, like, he found out that he was getting a blood transfusion, like, oh, it came from San Francisco. Well, if I get the urge to vote for Nancy Pelosi, I'll know why.
And I figured he was going to go for, like, I figured he'd say, like, oh, I guess I'm going to get AIDS now.
He did ask that, and he was told that they're really rigorous screening.
He didn't joke about that. He was serious.
It's like, all right,
that.
Well, I'll trust you.
That's not a joke.
I heard him say, like, well, I guess the blood's bad, then, you know, it's too late now.
What about gay cancer?
And then you found
cancer
out.
Cancer thing, right? Cancer of the gay.
And then you found out the next day that he had died 5 years before.
Ooh.
Of gay cancer AIDS.
Games? Jesus.
Yeah,
hey guys.
Games.
That was fun, though.
I guess top seven.
Top seven. Well, this is a follow-up to a previous week's top seven.
And our second in a row, right?
What?
Yeah, it's a second annual tradition.
Is it? Well, I don't know.
We did it last year.
Oh, I didn't know.
Go back and listen to Talk Radar.
You probably knew a year ago.
I might have.
Listen to Talk Radar 1 year ago. And
did we actually say what it was?
The Date Master ducked out early. I have no idea.
Yeah. It's the top seven worst games of 2011, parentheses, so far.
And parentheses.
In parentheses. Number seven. What's up, Charlie?
Can we just read it? Not have to comment on it?
I like the quotes, the quote aspect, the most damning quotes.
Sure. So number seven is a Wii game. Didn't have to get too far to get one of those.
I'm surprised it's only number seven.
There's more on here. This is such a great title. 101 in one sports party mega mix.
Super Jam O'Rock.
So... this is an Axis game, right?
It's an Atlas game.
All right.
Atlas.
They put out the other 101.
They put out a lot of these games.
I'm surprised this isn't like Zoo or UFO Interactive or one of those.
Floated them through the bed.
Atlas is really
spit all over my computer. Yeah,
there's also 101 in one sports mega mix without the party. Then there's also 101 in one party mega mix without the sports.
Well,
very confusing when I'm looking for images online of this game.
Yeah.
As I should say, that these are all ranked based on their rankings on Metacritic.
I see.
These are not my or Games Radar staff's personal choices for the worst games. These are
nor game rankings.
The industry. No game ranks. It's Metacritic.
Yes. Mm. That sounds like number six territory.
Wait, what?
Did you want the quotes? Or?
Oh, my bad. What's the quote?
Well, so, yes, basically, this is a really bad collection of Wii mini games.
But there's so many!
It is a lot, but then I liked how the press release said tens of hours. Like, really? 101 games, you're still going to get tens of hours.
Tens of hours? That means one has to be, like, half a second.
Yeah, and I think from what I read in the reviews, basically you're just pressing the A button over and over again to get through them all, and you'll never want to play a single one of them over again, and the graphics are really bad, as you can see when you go look at the top seven. So each of these entries, I chose what the most, faintest praise I could find on the review quotes, and then the worst, most scathing review. So for this one, in Gamer UK, the nicest thing to say, they said, the Wii does shovelware better than anyone.
Which is about as backhanded as compliments get. Mm-hmm.
That may be a trend on these quotes.
Number six. Wait, what was the other?
Jeez, I'm just moving things along.
Got an itchy trigger finger.
I do. Sorry, guys.
I'll let Henry read the Scathing Review quotes because he's got a very dramatic reading voice.
Ooh, Henry.
The archetypal example of a game release to cash in on the unsuspecting parent or grandparent. That was Dark Zero.
Dark Zero.
Number six.
Yeah, finally, number six. I thought it would never come.
Sorry.
Well, this one I actually have something to say about.
Oh.
Why
don't you announce what it is then, Henry?
It's Wipeout Kinect Dumb Shit.
Wipeout in the Zone.
Yeah.
On Xbox 360 Kinect enabled.
I remember that game in its stupid face.
Thanks, Brett.
I agree, Brett.
Could be here.
It sounds like it could have been a really fun game. I'd love to play a Kinect Wipeout game. I love the show.
Mm-hmm. I went to an Activision preview event for Transformers, and at it was that game, and like they couldn't get more than two people to play it the whole time. They were just like, "No, look, it's so much fun! Look, whoa! I almost fell off this." It was sad. I could barely drink my free drinks and eat my free brownies.
Yeah, and it was all I could do to sulk back to the helicopter. Right.
No, sadly there was no helicopter this time. Right.
If they'd wanted a good review scores, they should have built an entire Wipeout course just for the game reviewers.
Obviously, I would have given the Transformers game a better review at OXM if they'd had more. If they'd had a better selection of candy.
Okay, I'll be playing fucking Call of Duty.
I'm just going through all sound effects. Gold sound effects.
I mean, it's pretty neat that that's like your avatars in the game. It's a good concept, but you know, it's just obviously a quick TV show tie-in, mm-hmm. so they didn't put much effort into it.
Well, Kinect doesn't work.
It seems like the major problem is that it just doesn't. You know, Kinect doesn't work in general, but this in particular doesn't work. Yeah. Like people were having to constantly like they've gotten their Kinect to work with every other game. They're trying to reset it and recalibrate it over and over again. It couldn't get to work with any lighting conditions. Mm. They would jump, their avatar would duck. They'd run, their avatar would go backwards. Things like that. So the nice quote was, "It was mercifully brief," says Game Informer.
Hello.
And the most scathing review quote from Gaming Age, "I have no clue how this got past the testing phase to be a full price retail release."
Wow, I remember Game Informer's score was actually pretty damning. It was like one of the lowest they've ever given. It was in the one territory.
So I like writing this top seven these 2 years because it's very fun reading reviews for bad games. That's when critics really get
to use their creativity.
Get
to pull the knives out.
Yeah, and I enjoy reading other reviews. Appreciating my fellow journalists.
All right, let me go to number five. I was super embarrassed, but I'll bring it up in a second. Hold on.
Number five.
You guys should all have something to say about because I believe you fapped it.
I did?
There's a fap in this article, so I hope so.
What is it?
It's Thor.
Oh,
God of Thunder.
I definitely have something to say about this one.
What do you got to say about this?
Well, this was another preview. This was another preview event that I've actually already talked about on this podcast, but like Thor.
Paraphrase what you said before.
Thor was just broken there. That it was a press event like less than 2 months before the launch, and like Sega was having this big press event. They like at this expensive type bar and in the city. And they showed us here's the big premiere of all four trailers for the like one trailer for Thor and Cap on both Wii and next gen systems, and they seemed super proud of it. And even the trailers were like, I guess that looks okay. And then like you go upstairs and play the game, and Thor is just broken. Like it doesn't hitting stuff doesn't work. The timing doesn't work. And I felt like everybody there was just looking at each other like, wow, this is. Why are they showing this? This comes out in 2 months. They'll never finish this in time. This is awful. And then you just had to look at them and be like, well, thanks. Gotta go play Captain America now. Like, just to make sure they couldn't ask you a question about it. It was sad.
Yeah, that's when you kind of have to wonder what the process was at the studio. Like, did they actually think like, oh man, this is looking good. Yeah, let's show this off. Or it's like, we have to have something. Let's just get something together. Oh my God.
It cost them thousands of dollars to show that game, though, too, to do it at that place. They shouldn't have had that event. They could have saved so much out of their budget by not having that event.
Yeah, I wonder why, you know, every Entertainment Weekly issue I get always has a few movies that they didn't show to the press because they don't want there being reviews. They want people to, because they know people are going to go and see it either way. This is a game that people are going to buy or rent just because it's Thor, so why ever show it to us at all?
Yeah.
I don't want to encourage that, but if I was them, I wouldn't.
I know. Now I don't have that copy of Cars that I actually need for a video idea that's going to mock it mercilessly. Anyway.
So I mean, how when you guys played it for the FEP, was it just as bad as
it's just
that?
Just boring. It's just like they were they were ice monsters. What are their real names?
So many Jotunheim.
Jotunheim. So many Jotunheim. Jotuns. And then Jotuns, there was more. Right. Ice, there was more decimating the icy environment than there was.
Well, there were so many invisible walls too, and just you look so stupid spinning your hammer, and it's just ugly and boring.
And it's a God of War ripoff, right?
If it, the worst kind. Green Lantern, the Green Lantern game is a good enough God of War ripoff. Like, it's boring, but it's by the it checks all the boxes. It at least copies it competently, but like Thor, it just breaks all the time. It has no quality control. It looks ugly. Like it's bad in so many ways.
Arkham Asylum is only such a great superhero game because it wasn't a God of War clone. Like it was its first. Like, let's not make another God of War superhero game.
Yeah. It's also part of why the Captain America game isn't so bad,
because it rips off Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, it does.
I don't understand why that makes sense for Batman, but why is Captain America walking around like a dark hospital or whatever, picking up clues? And
I don't know. I didn't write the game.
The parts to me in that demo I played were weird. That were just like, you get to a certain point and it's like, now you're going to be jumping around like Prince of Persia.
Yeah,
except
it does have some serious problems. Like the jumping is just, you're basically just hitting X over and over again.
You're playing a rhythm
game.
Yeah. More so.
And it's like you have no control. You are just literally hitting a button on cue.
Yeah.
The quick time events during combat kind of suck.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's not anywhere near as good as Arkham Asylum. It borrows the structure,
uh-huh.
and it does a good job with that. And I think it's really ambitious for a summer movie game.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
I mean, it's
still not a fantastic game, but it's like playing it. It was just like, wow, this game really tried.
It's borrowing is plaudible.
Is it going to break the fourth wall?
No,
Captain America doesn't
break
the fourth
wall.
Third wall,
maybe the third.
Third wall,
wall?
All right. All right.
Well, you know, throne shield.
Quotes, I guess.
Thor was. what were the quotes?
All right, the nice quote here is from MS Xbox World.
I just found that. I'm sorry.
As a cure for long-term insomnia, it can't be highly enough recommended. See what they did there. Mm-hmm. The scathing review quote from Action Trip. A lot of these are European sites because I think smartly, this game came out obviously here, but a lot of these games came out in Europe and then slowly came to America like as downloads instead of as full release games because they learned their lesson in Europe and Asia. So the quote here is, the game is a slap in the face to people who like video games, to people who like comic books, and to people who like Germanic paganism.
That's good.
Was it Friday when we were discovering our first things that we wrote on Games Radar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Discovered Henry. Spearheaded a Homie Roller's character profile.
I like how you said spearheaded, like it was his whole.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's not his writing. Like,
he's spearheaded. Henry came in, we hired him as our Homie Roller's expert.
And then you found, and I thought it was going to be, well, I didn't read the actual review, but like someone just Twittered a picture of the verdict page where Games Radar does the score and three things you'll love and three things you'll hate. And it became, in the ride home from CAX this weekend, my favorite thing I've ever written. Ever. Games Radar verdict for Homie Rollers. Number one, equaling no value on Games Radar. You'll love, that's wheelchair accessible.
That's yours.
because there's a wheelchair guy in the game. Number two, you'll love how good every game looks by comparison. Mm-hmm. And number three, you'll love pointing and laughing at unsold copies of Homie Rollers. You'll hate. First part, you'll hate everything a lot. you'll hate gag game gifts. And lastly, you'll hate Homie Rollers. Which I'm pretty sure the only time the game being reviewed is used just as one of the you'll hates.
And then you gave it a 7.
Then I gave it a 7. You tried.
Yeah. Well, that's the lowest score any of us can
have. Yeah, for fans of the Homie Rollers genre.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure there's plenty of cholos out there who like bad DS games.
Who like buying things out of vending machines and want to translate that love into games.
But yeah, I think it was my third week at the office, and boss came up to me and said, like, well, hey, you want to write something? I got these exclusive...
You were like, do I, boss?
Yeah, I got these exclusive character bios for Homie Rollers. You can just write the rapper for it and see a mess it yourself. Oh.
Then did you wonder what a rapper was?
I knew. I understood enough.
It almost makes sense.
You can see my... you can see in the writing my anger at
you're cynical immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, your first thing is way better than my first thing. Was just a generic...
What was your strap line?
Your strap line for the review was Well, we made fun of, like, Henry, you should have done this. And we all laughed, like, that would be stupid. And then you did that for your review strap line.
I did? What was it?
I don't know. This game sucks, essay.
Oh.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird period, though, when we were getting those, like,
Majesco
basically
games?
Those canned features.
Yeah, just like, here's all the character
yeah,
bios.
Here's a bunch of character bios. You can post them up as is, or you can rewrite them. And I would always rewrite them, and it would always not be worth the effort.
Yeah, that's why I didn't rewrite. I just wrote a snarky thing in the beginning that basically disowned that this was our thing. I'm like, yeah, I didn't write this shit you're about to read, but
the strap
was... I think it was like, oh, it was a... Did you know Homie Rollers has characters? You will now. Or something like
that. That was it. And then also I put a spoiler warning because it talks about the two unlockable characters at the end.
Shit.
Hey, what was the first thing that you wrote for the site, Chris?
I don't remember.
We got to pad out this podcast somehow.
I really don't. I remember the first review I wrote, but it was like the first week I wrote the review for Tony Hawk. Yeah. I just remember initial news stories like Eric would hand me like, in hindsight, stuff like, man, we shouldn't be writing about that. But we were a new site. And so, yes, I wrote the cycling manager, like, 06. I remember I wrote
can get
just,
bike,
like, five paragraphs. And, like, and then I embedded a YouTube video with Queen's Bicycle. Like, just went way too far. This small task that I was given just to keep me busy and happy. Anyway.
I wrote a Warriors for PSP news story.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I spent like 2 hours agonizing over it. Because we had page tabs back then, so I was like, oh, what should I do for this page tab?
Yeah, the page tab.
And now those page tabs aren't there, so I have no idea what I wrote.
And I spelled out so many curse words with the page tabs. And like, seriously, I hid things in the page tabs. And they're gone. You'll never see them again. There's a lot. I tried to hide a little bit nasty in there. I don't know what else to say.
I remember my first review was Samurai Warriors 3 XL. I think it was a 2.
Wait, never again. What if, Michael, you were writing stuff before the site was even live, but was the first thing you wrote like in a document?
I don't remember.
It was probably a review of a World War II battle.
Initially, we just had to like, you know, lay in a stock of like, okay, write a bunch of previews and reviews and just so we can have them on hand when we launch. And that was kind of weird. But, like, the first thing I remember writing was, like, a new story on Metal Gear Solid 4. Like,
what?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, like, or just doing something about, like, oh, a bunch of screens from the trailer. Or
well, it's all there for you kids to make fun of.
We were, like, you know, working and writing for, like, 4 months before the site finally launched. It launched really late. Launched in like March, and we were supposed to launch on like January 1st.
The first thing you wrote should have been a cover letter to apply to another website.
Charlie Barrett. Because
I've done so badly for myself here.
Number 4.
So we had our Kinect game. So here's our PlayStation Move game.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation Move Ape Escape.
I was kind of shocked to see this because I didn't even know it existed.
It's like a direct. Is it a remake of the first one? With
no, this is a rail shooter.
Oh, God.
Why?
A rail slingshotter.
Sony really kept it a secret.
It was. It's been out in Europe for a while, but they just brought it to the U.S. as a PSN download. I think like last week.
And the reviews are that bad.
They are bad enough to get 38% on Metacritic.
That is the one game that has a very good legacy with me, but only through one game.
The second one on the PlayStation wasn't bad either.
It's not great, and then like everything after that is fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's really sad. They made a really good, like the first game was such
it's very good,
game,
very and, charming.
And it really took advantage of the DualShock. Mm-hmm. It was like something you couldn't do on a Saturn or an N64. Like ooh. It kind of went downhill
from there.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that'd be a fun game to play with Move, just netting monkeys and sneaking up on them. But I mean, you do get to net them, but you're on a linear path where they're jumping out at you and you're slingshotting them and they're running at you and you're keeping them away from you. You're trying to net them while they are running towards the camera.
Ugh. How much are they selling it for on PSN?
$20.
Oh my God.
Exactly. Wow, Michael had a genuine reaction. What? That can't be.
Seems excessive for something that like they buried. I don't think I've gotten any press releases about it or anything.
And I think I can't tell if this is supposed to be Ape Escape 4 or if this is an offshoot or like this may be your latest Ape Escape.
It's my icon on PSN. Oh, it's my little avatar. Little
PlayStation Move Ape Escape is?
No, just a little ape with a siren helmet.
So the quotes here, the 6-axis had the nicest thing to say. If you haven't used Move in a while, it gives you a chance to charge it. And then the scathing review quote from Eurogamer is a paper-thin exercise in frustration and underachievement that would struggle to pass muster as a Wii launch title.
Damn. Okay.
Fine. That's a good one.
I guess so.
I think you're on fire today with the sound effect.
You think so?
Eurogamer is staffed by dolphins.
Let's close this out while I'm still on top of the world. So, Ape Escape, a disappointment.
All right. I get it now.
Number three. It's actually number two. It's number two, actually.
It was number three. All right.
That has anything to do with anything.
I just need to rearrange my soundboard more.
This is our requisite PC game that nobody's heard of until now, which is Shadow Harvest Phantom Ops.
I remember this mainly because I think the guy we hired to review it gave it a 2, and then there was
somebody didn't like it.
Yeah, there were we got a message from somebody saying, I demand you re-review this game.
There's no reason to be mean.
Yeah.
This game,
it's unprofessional to bash a game you hate.
Do we know where that came from?
We suspect
it was someone who was involved in making the game.
Generally, when there's
somebody
a game no one's ever heard
project.
Of, it gets a disappointing score, and there's one comment and one message relating to it, that's who it's from. Yeah.
Well, no, there are some people who do comment on this thing just like, wow, this is a really low score. This game has really sucked. But yeah, our reviewer hated it, I think, for good reason, and I don't...
It looks completely generic and just, nothing interesting about it at all. And Uncharted makes fun of the next-gen filter with the brown graphics. Mm-hmm. This game is the most next-gen-y looking in that stereotypical way I've ever seen. Just look at all the screenshots. They're all yellow-brown. It looks like they made a brownish-yellow game and then put the next-gen filter over that, three times.
Also, to me, I think it's PC only because they... either couldn't get approved by Microsoft and Sony, or it cost too much money to get the license.
And if you look at the hero, he looks like the most generic. I mean, all the generic buzz cut dudes, he's the most generic buzz
cut. Looks like Kratos with no tattoos.
I guess so.
It's just lame. It's just a lame looking game.
It looks like, yeah. And also, they keep the press releases for games on there, so you can go back and look through all the press releases, and that's how I got all these quotes from the press releases. But based on that, it seems like this game was once called what?
Phantom Ops?
Phantom Ops Shadow Harvest. And then now it's Shadow Harvest Phantom Ops.
Well, it was probably the UK. Their colons are reversed.
I just want to point out that the hero in here looks like the mandate to the art director was make Angelina Jolie but with a green monocle.
And then the other one's just make every game character ever with a green monocle.
Yep.
Ooh, all right. Feature idea, people. You hear that.
So the quotes here.
We could do a list article on the baldest space marines.
Yeah.
I suggest you go read the top 7 lazy character cliches and look at the number that's buzz cut space dude.
Buzz cut space dude.
Well, I think, everybody knows that.
No, I think baldest space marines is a good idea. Don't steal that feature idea, you guys.
Yeah, we're totally going to do it sometime.
Well, we got an open slot on Friday.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right,
Michael, get
until then, I am literally a week behind working on my Earth Defense Force review, 1 week after it was due.
I'm a day behind on my Misplosion Man review. Sorry, Charlie.
Earth Defense Force, play that. Hey, what's the quote? Sorry, because it's getting hot in here.
Here's one from IGN.
Wigan.
They said the menus and load screens are highly polished. And Game Over Online says, would have been bad even in 2004.
This is the number two time? Number two. Synonymous with...
Oh. I'm sure that...
I'm sure our audience has all seen the whole bar. They know what scene that's from. What's that smell?
Somebody will be able to talk about this, I hope. Number two is...
Transformers, Dark Side of the Moon.
No, Dark of the Moon. Stealth Force Edition.
Yeah, not just Dark of the Moon. That was low rated as it was, but this is Stealth Force Edition.
I can talk about this.
Wait, I just looked at this and saw Wii 3DS and so that's what they're doing now. They're just probably porting games, Wii games over directly because it's roughly the same.
Pretty much,
adding 3D.
That's what they did with Lego Pirates. At some developer thing, the Lego Pirates guy were talking so positively about it. We were just able to just port the Wii on the 3DS. It was so easy.
But the greatest thing about this game is that it's called Stealth Force Edition, and
we just had to add controls.
Yeah, so that
Stealth Force is transforming from your vehicle into a vehicle's
guns.
Two
great things about this, yeah. So Stealth Force, actually, as a mode and as a gameplay thing in the 360 PS3 versions of Transformers, Stealth Force is actually fun. You basically become a tank that can strafe.
But why is that called Stealth Force?
Yes, you are in no way stealth. You are a regular-looking car with giant guns sticking out of the side. Like, no one would think you're a car.
And by saying Stealth Force Edition here, they're not saying, oh, you get more Stealth Force. They're saying, all you get is
you
Stealth Force.
You are exclusively... That's the other
you
thing.
You can't change into a robot
this
anymore.
This game is called Transformers, and you do not transform.
You only transform from a car into a car with weapons, and that's somehow Stealth Force. There's no robots, except in the cutscenes, and at the end of each mission, you transform into the robot then, just rubbing the salt in the wound, like, hey, remember that you can't change into a robot in the cutscenes anyway.
Yeah, also...
I could have been hitting my transform button this whole time!
It was funny when I was sent my review to OXM, and they were reading over, like, I got a call from Corey from OXM, and was like...
Why a seven human?
He said... Stealth Force, what is that when you go invisible in the game? Like in that one stage, I was like, no, it's when you turn into the car with a gun sticking out. They're like, they call that Stealth Force? Like,
for relative to a Transformer, it's pretty stealth. To a 40-foot robot who turns into a licensed vehicle.
But you look.
But you can't change
stealthy.
Into a robot in this game. There are no robots.
I know.
Well,
it's
stealthy because they're robots in disguise, and this is them staying in disguise.
That's right.
They never come out of cover.
You should be the PR guy for this game, Michael.
What if the Transformers never revealed themselves, Shia LaBeouf?
What if the Transformers didn't transform?
Exactly. They stayed undercover the whole time. Deep cover. Donnie Brasco. That's what we're talking about.
That's bad enough.
They're
for,
the
like,
ultimate insiders.
They're that cheap. They're that cheap with a Wii game that they can't even animate transformation and walking around on their feet. It just has to be one mode. They can't design a level for
anything else. Probably correctly figured it's like, well, people who are buying Transformers games for the Wii are probably either kids or not very discerning.
I have friends back home who probably bought this just because they had to have every Transformers game.
Did they only play on the Wii?
Probably.
No, they wouldn't play it at all, ever. But the fact there's a different one means they had to buy this one. Yeah, no shit.
I actually had to have one of our interns play this game because there was no they hid the trailer. There was no trailer for the Wii DS versions. So he played it for about an hour and got about halfway through the game.
I'm sure
he had a fun time, but that was one of his most active days as an intern.
Yeah, he had a great time. Michael,
give me some quotes. Ooh, Michael's not quotes. Fresh off of salmonella.
The nicest thing anyone had to say. Yeah, salmonella flavored quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Great. One might argue that there is nowhere to go but up. From Nintendo Joe.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah. The most scathing review quote is, Optimus Prime is dead, and it's this game that killed him. From Cheat Code Central.
Not sure if that makes sense, but...
So, in summation, Transformers, we saw...
Transformers! Number one! So, number one is Duke Nukem.
Wow!
Critical...
You!
No. Come on.
Mass...
Yeah. Oh, I don't. It's going to be a little while. Hold on, I got to go grab it. I'm sorry. Damn it! All right, Duke Nukem. Something. Damn it! That's Duke Lombardi. fuck! I don't know where it is. God damn it! I'm sorry. Wait.
As long as you keep saying wait.
Plus
people
Space Her.
God damn it! They're not playing Space Her. Duke Nukem. Critical.
There we go. I'll settle for that.
Holy shit, it's hot in here.
So, yeah, I bet y'all expected Duke Nukem Forever to be on here, but there was a worse Duke Nukem game.
Yeah. Duke Nukem Forever is actually comparatively wonderful next to the games
That's
on this
so
list.
Fucking weird.
Yeah, because at least Duke Nukem Forever is kind of like Duke Nukem 3D. This is more kind of like the original Duke Nukems back in like 1991.
Yeah.
Which we were also eager to get back to.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Fuck.
Everybody was screaming for another Duke Nukem fucking side-scroller.
What was that point you were
mentioning? Or another side-scroller, period.
And you're saying you have to dodge bullets that are invisible?
Yeah, like the enemy's bullets don't show up. You only know that you're in a firefight, like the screen flashes red.
Wow.
Except for in the occasionally, like, the game throws all kinds of crazy stuff. It's side-scroller mainly, but there's also these like occasional first-person sniping segments, which are apparently the best part of the game. There's a part where there's a vertical top-scrolling part where you're on a jetpack, and you can see all the enemies bolts at that point, but you can't avoid them because there's too many of them. You're supposed to just get hit and get as many health packs as you can get to survive.
Wow.
And then there's parts where you're side-scrolling, and then you'll suddenly just go to an alley, and then it'll go into like a kind of sort of third person where you're looking down the alley, and there's like one guy down and one pig to shoot down there, and then you shoot him, and then you move on.
How weird.
Yeah, the weird thing is that like the developers and publishers, I forget which, of this game were like really kind of arrogant about the license, because those who were like watching the game might remember that it actually lost the license and became, I think, something like Alien Shooter Vengeance or some crap like that. Yeah, it was just like some game with Alien Shooter in the title, and it was genericized. And they're like, no, that's a misconception. We never lost the Duke license. It belongs to us, not to some work-for-hire developer, meaning Gearbox.
Uh-huh. I see. Ooh. Oh, yeah, isn't it Apogee or 3D?
Yeah, it's Apogee.
And also, this game is teen-rated, so you don't even have... At least, I guess that's a plus or a minus, depending on how you feel about the adult humor and the... Forever.
That sounds like...
That hoe-ass shit, man.
Also, like, where does Apogee get off throwing... Like, after they make this, did they throw stones at Gearbox for making Forever? Like,
I don't know. I mean,
terrible.
They occupy a certain venerable place in history. That they were the publishers of Duke Nukem and Wolfenstein 3D.
But they shat all over that history, like, so hard.
They kind of did with this,
It was supposed to come out on PSP as well, but it has not.
Aw, man. Yeah,
probably never would.
Big surprise.
Maybe they're saving it for the PSP2 or Vita.
This one was kind of just weird all around because like it was first announced like several years ago as like Duke Nukem Trilogy.
I've heard this forever.
For DS and PSP. And like they showed nothing but a logo and like a stock photo of a dude in a gas mask and like just generic guitar music for like 3 minutes of just showing these logos over and over again.
I'm gonna have you read the quotes.
Okay. Nicest thing anyone had to say: "This is a forgettable game," by Vandal Online. And the most scathing review quote comes from Metro Game Central: "A low-tech portable monstrosity that manages to make the worst of both the DS's abilities and Duke's legacy." Wow.
I think those were written before Forever came out, though.
Wow. Hmm. Wow. I don't know. That's too bad. That's too bad. I know.
Duke, I know. What's happening to us?
I know. It's tragic. Yeah.
So, you see, we actually had a lot to say about this feature after all.
We don't have a lot to do after this. Ah,
do we? Can we just call it quits now?
No, we're just going to come back and do like another 10, 15 minutes. We'll be good. Seriously, we'll be all right. When we get back, we'll just give you a couple game deals. I'm going to read some emails and we'll just...
Well, there is one new release I can talk about.
No, Henry.
Oh, you can wait.
But I can't talk...
Talk about it on your Facebook page.
Yeah. All right, and when we get back, Charlie will...
I don't know.
Anybody want to take a guess?
Do a little dance.
Henry?
Sing the song.
Charlie?
Leave?
No.
A battle with jellyfish?
Oh, God.
What's up, it's Tony Hawk. You were listening to Talk Radar at GamesRadar.com.
The iTunes reviews are in.
Wishart says,
a wonderfully pungent gaming cluster shard.
Kyrian BC says,
spawned from the heavens, absolute brilliance on so many levels.
Melzul says,
pants crappingly hilarious.
And GameDad says,
the constant belching and F-bomb to make the podcast feel immature.
Get over here!
Talk Radar for the win.
Talk Radar, bitches.
All of a sudden, I could feel 100% evil come over me.
Whoopee!
I'm going to GamesRadar.com, the official website of the internet.
Can you dig it?
Well, yeah, Talk Radar segment two.
What? I don't even have my
headphones. It's all right, Hank. It's all right. You can still talk, right?
Henry, stop Facebooking. That's rude.
Yeah, I know. Ugh. Seriously, you can't get off it now. How are you liking Facebook so far? It's been like 20 minutes.
I don't know. I
guess has it changed your life yet?
I can see the appeal. I can see why Jesse Eisenberg wanted to create it.
How many fans have you made your friends so far?
What, like three accidentally. I don't want to be your friend.
Oh, Henry doesn't mean he just didn't want to be on Facebook, period.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter. I'll talk to, and if you at reply me on Twitter with a question, I normally do reply back. But
unlike
Facebook,
me.
I just want to be friends. Like I'm
trying to be better about that.
My Twitter handle, in case you don't know, is at Henry Henry G.
That's only two E's, right?
H E N E R E Y G.
Well, I'm gonna plug my Twitter too. It's G-R-I-N-A-N-D, Grin and Barrett.
Are you coming out as Grin and Barrett?
I've always been out as Grin and Barrett.
A battle of jelly.
All right,
it's just Michael Riccardo's, but you already knew that.
I did know that.
That's pretty easy to remember.
I already knew that.
If you can spell Michael's name.
I am C. Antista, but I also share an account with Lizzie Cuevas. So if you want to get this with her, C. Antista is what you do. Yes.
I share one with Veronica Bellman.
I got a fun tweet from Metalhead347, Jesse, my grandmother listened to episode 161 of Talk Radar.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I wanted to say, good. And she loved it.
Right, don't you have a record scratch?
No, I don't have any of that. Right. She loved it. Is that bad? Oh, kind of.
Hi, Fran!
Franny!
Fran's bringing us pizza.
Yes!
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
Oh, is this one of Fran's rare, like, barely on mic appearances? Yeah. Bye, Fran.
Bye.
It's great almost talking to you.
Maybe she'll be on the show someday.
Someday.
Has she never been on the show?
What is that?
Fran said hi once. Francesca Reyes of OXM. Whoa.
Did you know there's a game called Angry Birds on this thing?
What? Angry Birds? I've heard of that.
You know what? I just played Angry Birds on my Windows Phone 7, and it is not that great.
It's just...
I don't get why people love it so much. Like
Charlie had... I saw somebody tweeted Charlie, like, you wouldn't hate it if it wasn't popular, and Charlie said, no, I wouldn't remember it.
I would have forgotten about it.
And me too. Like, I played the game when it came out, and I just never remembered it. I honestly don't understand why it's so popular. There's a bunch of other games like that. Everybody's eating on Mike. Good.
fine.
I think it's popular because it's accessible to non-gamers, and so they're discovering the thrill of video games.
But so are
dozens. In a format they can understand.
But the same one, Rovio, Cut the Rope, is like an ingenious game that I haven't seen before that is like... very cute.
And it works. I feel like it works. Birds doesn't work right.
Yeah, but hurling screaming things at brick walls is its own kind of
not
thrill.
Even
it's not a puzzle.
If they broke through the bricks, but they just bounce off uselessly, I don't understand how to... maybe I'm just not good at the game. I can't get anything to work
but
in
just,
that game.
I just don't want to get good at it.
No, it seems like... I don't know. That was my
awesome tweet I just got. And this would have been more appropriate... I may have even played this before... This has been more appropriate last week for Sound Effect City, which I believe Hank called it.
maybe.
What game is this a commercial for from 1995? It'll never say the game name.
95. No escape.
You can hide. Every platform imaginable. So it's not GoldenEye. You can fight with all his might and never win. When God battles evil, the real game begins. Fucking Christ. Jesus.
Really?
No, I just had to get rid of that. Burn that sound effect before I got rid of it forever. No, it is, let's see if I can go back
Chrono
to...
Chrono Trigger.
Let's start this party!
somebody with a bang.
It was the
Batman.
Yeah, Batman Forever.
That was Batman.
It's Batman Forever.
It was like Batman with a little bit of James Bond and WWE in there.
Don't eat all this cheese pizza. This is the most delicious cheese pizza I've ever found.
It's really good.
Yeah,
you guys are pigs.
I didn't eat lunch today, Charlie Bear.
Pizza.
Fine. You know what? You know what you get, Charlie Bear?
A battle of jellyfish?
No, you get game deals.
Wait.
What's the matter, Hank?
Henry, want to talk about a game he played?
Battle of jellyfish.
There's one new release this week to talk about.
We do it after game deals?
All right.
Off the mic, just don't. Let's talk privately about it.
Best Buy has buy two, get one free going right now. And I believe Amazon battled them. And it's a way better deal for the most part.
Yeah, Amazon's got a pretty good lineup, I gotta say.
It's pretty ridiculous. Just looking at it, like, I don't think Best Buy dropped the price on Red Dead, but Red Dead's $39.99 on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And you can match that with other $39.99 games. Nice.
Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, I saw in there.
I saw Bioshock 2 for $9 there.
Wow.
On PS360 and $9 on PC. Could say that. Target has Bulletstorm for $30.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty new game.
And I think they have a bunch of EA games below $40, like Crysis 2, Dragon Age 2, and Tiger Woods to Masters. Walmart has Toy Story
3
for $9, and I think it's a really good game, totally worth $9. Since I always have the sound effect,
there's a snake in my boots.
There's a snake in all our boots for that.
You'll always need that sound effect.
Always. Back to
there
the future.
There may
game.
Be a snake in my boots, but you all have a snake in your hearts.
Hardcore Uprising is the sale price is like $10.50, $7 if you're a PlayStation Plus member. Mm-hmm. Pac-Man Championship Edition DX is like $5 if you're a Plus member.
Yeah, that game's so good I bought it on Windows Phone 7, even though I knew it would suck. And it kind of did.
I understand that. Pixel Junk Shooter 2. $5 for your PlayStation Plus member, like $7 to regular people. Scott Pilgrim, also $5
for PlayStation totally Plus. Worth it.
And like Back to the Future and Chime and Dead Space Extraction. There's
Chime is great.
Mm. Chime's pretty good.
Well, for it was a $5 game on Xbox Live.
Luminous ripoff. This is the Chime Super Deluxe.
The Chime was, I haven't played Super Deluxe, but... The original Chime was also a charity game.
Mm-hmm. I think it still is.
The coolest thing about it was when you turned on the game, you got 50 achievement points and said, thanks for giving to charity.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Peace of mind.
Yep.
Peace of mind.
I've added a lot. It's funny that Fran came by, but because I've been catching up with her.
She's going to beat you without any time.
She'd always been beating me. I've never beat her.
What is this on your gamer tag again? What's your gamer tag again?
I'm not talking about my gamer tag, but on my gamer tag, I'm 2,000 behind her now instead of 350 or 3,500 like it used to.
How much are you behind me?
I'm ahead of you by like 4,000, I'd say, probably.
Behind by 4,000?
Fran's one of those people I don't really understand. She's EIC of the official Xbox magazine, so she's playing and reviewing all the big stuff and still plays everything else all the way through. The stuff that she wouldn't even write about because it's too esoteric, she's still playing that shit.
And
she's playing everything.
Here's the EIC. She takes on the big, huge games like Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah, Fran's a machine. She's like kind of astounding to watch play games.
She's an inspiration to all of us.
I'm not kidding, really. She's like, how much she plays, I wish I played that much.
I hope I can be as cool as Fran when I grow up.
So Fran gets an achievement.
Fran unlocked.
Game the other
over.
Fran
achievement. I say, save a little
money for a rainy day. You going to go out for pizza afterwards? What's up, guys?
Yeah.
Henry, finish your crust here. I want you to eat your starches. Eat your starches.
Just stuff that back in the back of the podcast equipment.
You know.
Store it back there.
What's up, Henry?
It's funny that you would talk about downloadable games.
Really?
Is this a segue?
And achievements. There was one game that came out this week that mattered slightly. And
I would say greatly.
That is Miss Splosion Man.
Oh, you're moving.
Yep, she's Miss Splosion Man. She's
is
got
it Miss or Ms.
Or MS Mrs. Ms. Ms.
She is MS.
Man.
That's terrible.
But it's funny that when you think about it, you know, Miss Pac-Man is yellow and has a pink bow, but Miss Splosion Man is pink and has a yellow bow.
What?
That's more than funny. It's fascinating.
Yeah. So, I'm not totally decided on my score yet. I feel like it's been getting a lot of really high reviews. Like, I've seen tens around.
Really? So, does she have new powers?
No, she explodes just the same. There's new items for her to interact with. Like, Sometimes you'll hit an area where you can explode forever, and you can just keep hitting explode, and it's just about navigating better with unlimited explosions. Others, it's like a zip line that you're going down, and you have to navigate between different levels of a zip line, which I didn't particularly find too easy at first. They didn't explain it very well.
Is it harder than the last game?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Definitely harder than the last game. I'm having some real trouble with it, to be honest. Like, it's really hard, and I know they're technically trying to be nice people to not as good gamers by having this thing that comes up. If you die like 10 times in a row, it says, you know, you can just press start and just skip to the next
hard level.
Skip to the next checkpoint in the level. You can do that if you want, and you can cheat. And I was like, no, I can't do it.
I can't do that. I blame connectors.
So, there was like this one where you had to jump from car to car, like these floating car to floating car, and it's so inaccurate. The jumping isn't as accurate as it should be. It's much better when you're jumping from exploding barrel to wall to exploding barrel, but when you have to jump from like floating platform to floating platform, it's not precise enough.
Are you still in the laboratory? What are their cars doing?
Oh, now you leave the laboratory several times in it. That's the other thing too. They've kind of left their comfort zone of the original Explosion Man. Like they're getting a lot more experimental. There's like full on what's the word I'm looking for? CQCs, like quick time events.
CQCs.
QTEs.
Cuties. Well, and like, also, it's the same thing that was bothering me when I played Comic Jumper, where like, I feel like the humor in Explosion Man was just the right level, where they were starting to experiment with FMV, and they'd use it where you wouldn't expect it. And now they use FMV all the time, and they're like, huh, isn't it funny we're doing this, huh? Inside joke. Like, nah, you're doing it a bit much. Like, the first thing you see in the game, which made me laugh at the first time, was you turn it on, and where it would have, like, say, the tech, the logo of the tech used to make the game, it shows one of their designers who's this bearded guy, like, saying, like, this game runs on beard. Your move, Unreal. Which was funny at first, but then you keep seeing these references to the beard and this guy with his beard. I was like, all right, I get it. You got a beard. You make the game. They took a picture of you, and you're not an actor.
Yeah, beard jokes are hack.
I fucking get it.
Fuck beards, man. Fuck
beards. Nah, it's like, I get it. That was the thing. Comic Jumper had so many goddamn F&B scenes, and like, it was a little too precious, if you know what I mean.
I don't know.
And also after playing Super Meat Boy, going back to Explosion Man's Super Meat Boy controls perfect in my opinion. While Explosion Man and Miss Explosion Man, it's still slightly off. Like you can notice there's little moments that keep cropping up where you're like, I didn't fail that because that jump is hard. I failed that because you cheated and put this thing here I couldn't see. Or this jump was off because you timed this wrong. Like, this is your fault and not mine. And that's where frustration comes in. But I'm still... But a lot of the time, I'm still having a lot of fun with it.
Like it's, three pieces of pizza.
It's still a lot of fun. I'm having a good... I mean, it's still a nice 2D platformer. And it's got... it's only 2D. $10.
Or not 2D.
It's only $10. Like, you get a great deal for it. You get a great deal for it. It's got a lot of great references to 2D games.
I heard there was a slam on Capcom for the ripoff.
And a minor spoiler, but if you read the achievements, this isn't a spoiler because they spoil it in their own achievements. At some point, you unlock Star Road, which is exactly Star Road from Super Mario World, as in the layout of Star Road when you open that up. But when you go on it, I don't know how this happens, but you get the guy, the smiley face on the shirt of Captain Smiley from Comic Jumper is talking, and he says, "Oh, this level is such a ripoff. Who made this game? Capcom? Ooh, burn!" And it was
Does that just say "Ooh, burn"?
It does say "Ooh, burn."
Is that the star that talks on
the star? That's right, Captain Smiley Star, who's a He says a lot of catty things in Comic Jumper.
Yeah.
So he's saying in this, he was mentioning the Capcom mobile game that got dropped very quickly.
What was
named
it called?
Max Splosion, which looked exactly the same as Splosion Man. It was a giant Splosion Man ripoff.
Didn't they do one called Explodemon, or was that somebody else?
That's a something Explodemon. Else. No, this is specifically Max Splosion.
Yeah, because, you know, Capcom only ever ripped off everything. It has no original ideas.
This is bizarre to see them publishing such a...
Well,
giant ripoff.
Capcom's defense was
is a bit surprising.
Capcom's defense is that they just don't pay much attention to their mobile platform.
They said this is a stupid decision, and the mobile team is a different team.
Yeah, they probably never saw Explosion Man.
So yeah,
they published Smurfs for a little while. I don't think anybody at Capcom knew they had the Smurfs license.
But so Explosion
Man, Willow at CAX. Yes,
Explosion Man is good, and it's the right price.
Looks fantastic,
And it's basically the start of. Summer of Arcade, technically.
I thought you were going to say, we were at California Extreme this weekend, and there's Pac-Man.
Yep.
Miss Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I know chronologically what would come afterwards as you get younger, I'm guessing. Baby Explosion Man or Explosion Man Jr.?
I'm betting Explosion Man Jr. I think they're going to skip Baby Pac-Man, which was a pinball game.
Fucking terrible. Those ghosts are evil shitheads.
Yeah, Baby Pac-Man is really tough. Pac-Man Jr. is fun.
I got addicted to it. It's like Pac-Man DX, like if it were made in 1984.
Well, it's just the stage is so giant.
Huge. Huge, man.
They've never really re-released that one. I don't know why.
But it was really good. It just adheres to all the logic of Pac-Man, except for the power pellet. Oh, except I wanted to point that out, like the power pellet, or the fruit structure. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all baby shit, right? So it starts with a tricycle, and goes on to, like, a teddy bear. So, and then the last one is a mug of beer.
What?
Yes, it's a mug of beer.
All right, yeah, I can give that to a baby. Sure.
I know, but you see, it's instead of being like pretzel, strawberry, and please don't correct me on if that's the right order. It ages him, Junior, until you reach mug of beer.
I like that.
Yeah. All right.
The California Extreme was fun.
I'll talk about it more when Brett gets back. He was here. Maybe Nagata. He wasn't here today. I did find an awe-inspiring story for a recently single person like me, and that it was from a girl.
What?
What?
I don't
believe
this.
Messages from women. I didn't even think they listen. A story for T-Dar says, I'm sure I'm not the only one. Is that really your name? That's adorable. Well, I have a story. It isn't touching, really, or particularly. But I think you guys haven't heard this before. This is how T-Dar got me a boyfriend and helped me gain confidence in myself. Right? Nobody's dying. Nobody's getting salmonella.
Yeah.
Mr. iPad Google.
All right.
iPads, they really show exactly what you're doing at any given time.
That's kind of the appeal.
I have always been a slightly plump girl with low self-esteem, and I had resigned myself to the fact that no guy would like me. I had a hopeless crush on a really good guy friend who had a hopeless crush on one of my best friends when he suddenly started paying more attention to me. We usually talked about video games and stuff, but now he had started walking me to class and texting me every night. I was telling him one day about a long plane ride I was going to be on, and he suggested I listen to Talk Radder. This was a little over a year ago. Soon I was an avid fan, and I decided to read a little comic series you guys were fans of. What comic series was that, Michael?
I'm going to guess it was Scott Pilgrim.
Michael Rapport is that is absolutely correct. It is Scott Pilgrim. I got him to read it too, but we ended up seeing the movie with different people. I subtly hinted to him one day that I needed to see the movie with someone who reads the comics, and he asked me out.
Aww.
Yay! Part two. I mentioned that I had low self-esteem, but after Talk Radder, I've been working out harder and feel much better about myself. Me too. you guys are amazingly awesome. Fun fact, the guy who called in twice in 163 about the sticker on the back of Crisis 2, that was my boyfriend.
Aww.
Yay!
So we get some kind of revenues from their relationship, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We put them together.
We get their firstborn.
Yes!
That's how it works. Their firstborn. Oh, let it be a girl.
Can we, like, all perform the wedding? Like,
yes.
We all get licensed and we just kind of do it as a podcast and both families are completely alienated.
Do you take this man...
Yay!
...to be lawfully wedded?
Whoopee!
You know, that reminds me of the Spider-Man comic.
I now pronounce you...
Once.
What's that?
I was pretending in the improv of us doing the wedding, I was pretending to
I'm sorry.
Go off topic and talk about Spider-Man.
You still have pizza in your mouth, Henry.
Oh, man.
Give me a minute to swallow my
pizza. Kill. I see. All right, let's get
to chewing
here.
Pizza.
Is there good music explosion, lady?
Oh, man. I didn't even talk about this.
Oh, geez.
No.
Some female gamers, I'm not sure how they'll take their version of Miss Explosion. Like, Explosion Man, he was always running around saying dumb shit and going like, blah, 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 and saying weird non sequiturs. But Miss Explosion Man says basically just sings like 90s pop hits that girls would really love. Like, girls at the time anyway, like, If You Want to Be My Lover, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Then sometimes she pulls out a cell phone.
I'm going to go chase a waterfall.
Sometimes she pulls out a cell phone and just starts yakking in it. And then another time, one of her idol animations is doing the Macarena.
Ew.
It was sexist.
Yeah, it feels slightly sexist, but it's also such a pink game. I mean, it's so lady friendly.
That's also sexist. Not all girls like pink.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So what you're saying is that as a game, it feels like that episode of Married with Children where Al Bundy made women's shoes out of men's shoes, and they were horrifying.
I think that's exactly
what Hank was getting at.
it's just like a men's loafer with a toilet roll attached to the heel. To give it some height.
Nice callback, man.
What?
Nice callback.
Hell yeah.
Great.
Thanks.
That was great. You're a real pro.
That was good pizza.
It was. Let's go get some more. What? And then leave. We were supposed to have a Call of Duty Elite interview in here, but that'll be going up on Friday. But yes, look for the beta of that going live on Thursday, right, Chaz?
I believe they said Thursday.
Charlie might have an article. Who knows?
Don't promise that. Please edit that out.
No, all right. I mean, my Earth Defense Force review is not up yet, and it's been two podcasts, so... Who cares, right? Nobody! Let's go! All right, we'll see you next week with our... Jesus, man.